Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I've got a word for you today. I'm going to take 30 minutes, okay? And I'm going to try to hit this as hard and at as many angles as I can, because I believe this is imperative information for you to live. What you do with this word, what you do with this message is up to you, as is all of them. You know, you can come in and you can say, well, I sat in church and it never worked. No, there's too many people around you that it works, but maybe you're the common denominator with it not working in your life. And there's choices decisions you have to make, choices you have to make. And our perspective has to be based, our mindset, our thought life, our perceptions, which make up our perspective, has to be based solely upon God's promises, solely. Can't be how we feel, can't be what we see, can't be what's been diagnosed, can't be the trends that are happening in our country and around the world, the global economy, whatever it might be. Our perspective has to be based upon God's promises. But I want to let you know that that's not a pipe dream, because we have the power and authority. The only power the enemy has, the devil has, you know, there's an adversary, there's an enemy, there's a devil, okay? And the only power that he has to be operative or to operate in your life is the power that you give him. The only power, the only thing he can exercise in your life is what you grant him that ability, okay? You give him, you have to give him permission for him to be able to work in your life after you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, after Jesus has become the Lord of your life. Before that, if you're in here right now, or you're at SkyTook or Sepulpa, or you're watching the internet, and Jesus isn't Lord of your life, I'm telling you, you have a Lord in your life. It's just not Jesus. And so what happens is you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you go from the power of darkness to light. You go from the power of Satan to the living God. See, so now there's been a shift that's happened to you spiritually in your life. So now the natural form of it is what we have to be dealing with. And the natural part of it, because, and that's why it's important for all of us, people that you're in here and you love God and you're serving God, it's important for you to be public with it. And not in a prideful way, not in an egotistical way, but in a way where you're a living epistle read of all men. Man, if you have the answer to eternal life, if you have the answer to divine health, if you have the answer to like prosperity of the more than enough life that God's promised us, you need to live your life that way in moderation. Man, there's a lot of people, and the Bible talks about those who are rich. Man, you got to be careful not to trust your earthly riches. Man, there's a moderation that we live our lives by. Man, we don't want to live our lives. It doesn't honor God to be poor and broke and busted, but it also doesn't honor God to be excessive and rich and live with where you're thrown in front of people. Man, there's a moderation that we live our lives. Our lives have to reflect the goodness of God. Everything in my life does. The Bible even says, be angry and sin not. I had T.L. Osborne. I was a brand new, I'd been a Christian like a month and a half. And I was at Bible school. It was the first day, and T.L. Osborne spoke. And I'm sitting in the back middle of the auditorium. There's probably, 600 or 800 people in there. And he walked, he spoke, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm naming every one of my kids T.L. I wasn't even married then, and I didn't have kids for a long time. But I'm thinking, man, every one of my kids, that's the most incredible thing I've ever heard. I've never heard anybody speak like that. You know, T.L. Osborne led more people to the Lord face to face than anybody in the history of Christianity. And places that it was opposed to the gospel. He stepped off the platform after he spoke, and he walked down the aisle. There's an aisle in the middle. And I was sitting on the aisle in the back, and he walked right up to me, and he got right up close to my face like this far, and he said, son, you can never trust someone until you see him mad. And he turned and walked off. I was like, you know, I'm 22 years old. I'm like, oh my gosh. And people are coming up to me, didn't know me, going, what'd he say? I'm like, I don't know. Yet, I've never forgotten that. Because but the Bible says this, even when you're angry, you can be angry and not sin. You can still be angry, listen, and honor God. There's a way for it. We can't do it naturally. See, and there's so many things that make us angry in our society, angry politically, angry, and you know what we've got to do? We've got to, and this is something that is learned and caught in our life. It probably doesn't come naturally for us. We've got to learn to be angry and sin not. We've got to learn to live in a world. Listen, the entirety of the world is in opposition to the kingdom of God. Everything about it. See, we've got to understand that. Man, we can't just throw in the towel and say, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, it is without a strong church. I absolutely agree with you. Oh, the darkness is just getting darker. You know what? It's always been dark. We just have allowed it to be too big a part of our perceptions now. Too much of what we see. Too much of what we pay attention to. I'm not here fighting darkness. I'm here bringing a light. I mean, that's what our life is, and that's what Jesus has given us in our life, and that's where our fulfillment is. Our fulfillment isn't to subdue the darkness. Our fulfillment is to turn the light on, and we have to reflect God's goodness. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to read the last few verses and then enter into the chapter 10, that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I truly believe today that we are answered prayer for even those people that Jesus spoke to right there in Matthew 19, right there in Matthew 10. What he said was, man, pray that to send forth laborers, and the repercussive impact of their prayer is you and I. Now listen, now look at Matthew 10, the first verse, but I'm gonna flip from the New King James to the Amplified, okay? In the Amplified, it says, "And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority." Everybody say power, power and authority. Say it again.
Power and authority.
"Over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of diseases and all kinds of weakness and infirmity." Now listen, to drive them out. I mean, think about the force here. Think about the aggression. Think about even spiritually, the violence in driving something out of your life that's an unclean spirit. See, what Jesus said was, look, we're gonna take care of the unclean things first, and then let's go to those little paltry things like disease and weakness and infirmity. But these two words, listen, write them down, power and authority. Power, the power he's talking about here isn't a natural power. The power he's talking about is if we had a block wall and we said, okay, man, we've got all these people in here. Everybody double up your fists and let's knock this wall down. I believe we probably could do it. It would take us a long time. There would be a lot of casualties. It would be ridiculously painful. And we could probably get that wall knocked. We could chip at it and scratch at it and try to beat it down, okay? But you know what? God's not giving us that kind of power. And I think that's how most of the time the church tries to take care of the issues. Is okay, let's all ball up your fists. Come on, let's just go fight. No, we don't fight that way anymore. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, they're not worldly, but mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. He's given us a supernatural power. And this supernatural power is mountain moving. On earth as it is in heaven kind of power. But listen, now let's talk about this authority a little bit. The authority that we have, and I know you guys have all heard messages about the authority of the believer. We've all been in that situation, and the authority of the believer and the authority that we have. Let me tell you how it breaks down. The authority that God has given us breaks down into three specific things. Number one is we give orders. That's awkward, because I know I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know that I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know I'm not all that. I know me. But you know what? The authority he's given us is to give orders. The second part of it is to make decisions. The biggest thing about the kingdom, the biggest thing about the gospel is take responsibility. Stop blaming the devil. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming the church. And by all means, stop blaming the pastor. Take responsibility for your life. Okay? Make decisions. But the third part of this is enforce disobedience. Give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. The disobedient, punish disobedience in your life. Punish disobedience in front of you. I'll tell you what, if this were a parenting seminar and you said, Shear, I'm giving you 3 minutes to tell me how to raise my kids, man, I'm just telling you, discipline is so important. What did Jesus told us, the Bible says to make disciples, disciplined people. People that are disciplined when you're not around, they still hold true to that discipline. But see, what do you do? You give orders. As a parent, what do? You make decisions. As a parent, what do? You enforce obedience. And you'll say, yeah, but my kid's been diagnosed. Let me let you into my world a little bit. I was a kid in the 60s, okay? And I know that's old. I know that everybody's thinking, oh, what's the succession plan? Who's next? That dog's getting a little old. Let me tell you, I'm running this race to win. Anybody could catch me, they could have it, okay? But here's the bottom line. The bottom line in the 60s, I don't think they had ADD. I don't think they had HDAD. I don't think they had HAD. Otherwise, I would have had, okay? They'd have said, he's got ants in his pants, he's got this, he's a good boy, but I think he's got some issues. I would have had some letters someone would have tried to lay upon me, okay? I've got a little brother who is a Mensa genius. You could Google it if you don't know what it is. He passed his Mensa test with 103 degree temperature and he was vomiting. Okay? Unheard of. He is a certified genius. He runs the actuary department for Enterprise Rental Car. He's a smart little dude. But let me tell you something. You'd want to kill yourself if you had to have a 30-minute conversation with him. He can't drop a thing. His memory, he has a bear trap memory. He does not forget a thing. I can't tell you what I had for breakfast before the 9 o'clock service. I can't tell you. I can't tell you what Sandy and I talked about last night. It's like, okay, but he's the guy. He'll keep bringing it up. But if they'd have done it, they probably would have struck him with this label. Now listen to me here, because I know this is sensitive because there's parents in here. Please hear my heart. You take responsibility. You hear me? There's labels in all of us. I remember when Taylor was little, I think he was in the first grade. He came home, he said, there's a new boy at school. I said, really? He said, yeah, he's blind. I said, what? He said, yeah, he's blind. I said, well, wow. I never had a blind kid in my class, ever. I went to a lot of school. And never had a blind kid, though. And I said, he's in your class? He said, yeah. And I'm trying to figure this out. And I said, how does that work, son? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, he's got a handicap. He said, Dad, we're all handicapped. I'm like, see, the label didn't work. See, we have to understand and write this down. The label you've been tagged with, if it's anything other than Christian, doesn't have to work. See, we've been given power and authority. And please, take this to heart. It's real-time authority. It's authority over unclean spirits. In Mark, the 16th chapter and the 14th verse, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. And that was pretty natural. We all forget God's promise when, oh my gosh, it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. But listen, and he said to them, and here's the bottom line. This is what we refer to as the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, this is awesome. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who doesn't believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they step on or take or ingest anything deadly, it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. See, we all go through very difficult things. We go through difficult times. We go through difficult things. We go through difficult seasons. Life gives us that. But even in those seasons, God expects us to honor him. God expects us to trust him. If we can only trust God when we're happy, if we can only trust God where it all looks rosy, who are we? What is this about? There's nothing attractional to that. See, the thing, I'm telling you, we have to value confidence. And somehow the church messes with people's confidence. I heard a statistic recently that's troublesome to me. And I just want to ask you, how many of you guys have served God for 2 years or more? Can I see your hands? Raise them high. Wave to me. 2 years or more. Okay, how many of you guys have been serving God for under 2 years? Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? Well, let's pick on you since you're here. Can you stand? Just stand. If you've served God for under 2 years, just stand. Okay, good. Got some up there. Good. 90% of the people that share the gospel and preach Jesus to individual people do it. 90% of them have been Christians for under 2 years. Now, put it in perspective. Everybody look around the room. There's maybe a dozen or so people that have been serving God for under 2 years. These guys are the ones talking. These guys are the ones speaking. These guys are the ones doing our job. Thank you, guys. Sit down. Give these guys a hand, will you? No, I remember I got saved. I remember my sin was remitted. God showed me my heart. It was pure as the driven snow. I'm like, oh, my gosh. The only thing I could think is I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what's happened to me. I got to tell somebody what Jesus has done in my life. See, it isn't because we started the church and people started showing up and they put this mic on my face and saying, this ministry. We came by this ministry, man, very organically, just like you do. And somehow we've got to raise up a church. You want to know what's wrong in the world? What's wrong in the world is we've got the people that probably don't have the understanding and the knowledge and the security and the maturity in the word that have become the people that speak to the individuals and speak to the public for us. Man, I want you guys that were standing, that were Christians for 2 years and under, to keep talking, keep telling people. But I also want you to tell you that most of what we have, how to truly hear from God, it's learned. It doesn't just happen because we sit in front of somebody that says, well, God told me I should go across town and buy this car. God told me that. No, you know what? Man, the Bible calls that forswearing. Bible says don't do it. Bible says let your yes be yes and your no be no. Bible talks about our lives reflecting God's goodness. I shouldn't have to convince you of that because I hear from God. I'm telling you, I hear from God. You'll say, did God tell you to start this church? I'm pretty sure. I really am. Was it audible? I've always had it in my heart. Well, how did this church happen? I was a brand new Christian and God gave me a vision for ministry. And somehow I never lost sight of that vision. It was an old barn in the middle of the woods. People throwing footballs and frisbees. Man, an aspect of the capital campaign, almost 25 years into this church, we're doing our first capital campaign. Part of it, aspect of it are hospitality areas. You know why? Because that's the vision of ministry I have in my heart. Hospitable people, people that are connected, people that are attractional, people that'll, man, throw a frisbee to somebody or throw a football with somebody. Maybe they'll stay a little bit longer. Maybe they'll learn how to hear from God. Maybe they'll catch that. Maybe they'll pick that up. We have to make a decision to stop dragging our lives through this life like we're never going to make it. We have to. The wrong way to look at it is, if we don't have any problems, then we'll be fulfilled and we'll be happy. No, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. You know, in Philippians 4, verse 6, one of the most powerful verses in the world, in the Word, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What makes you anxious? You know, God's given you armor for that specific thing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Yeah, but I got a diagnosis. In everything. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. In everything. Yeah, but I'm losing hope. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all it. See, you'll never get it. You'll go, man, I don't know. I don't know, I just don't get it. Yeah, you won't, because it surpasses understanding. But so let that peace surpass your understanding and guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You're going through difficulty? Yeah, we're human beings. Man, I got to travail through this? Yeah, you have to. Yeah, but I'm suffering. Yeah, you have to suffer. Suffering's a part of this. But let me tell you something. We don't stop in the suffering part. Man, the suffering isn't where we end. If you don't suffer, I'm telling you, you're a rag doll. You're a marionette somewhere, and somebody else is pulling the strings for you. The moment you pray, God's power is released in your life. The moment you pray, we have to trust the power of God's word. We have to, even if what we see doesn't line up with it, that's where our stand of faith takes over, the life of faith. Jesus in Luke 10:19, which is a foundational scripture for this, he said, behold, I give you the authority to trample, not tiptoe through, not be concerned a bit about it, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Man, if you've got one key verse in your life right now, and you're having to deal with things, and you're going through a time, you're going through a season, you're going through, have some issues. Let me just tell you, you go back to Luke 10:19, and what did Jesus say? Behold, I give you the authority. And he didn't say to walk through, to make it through. He said to trample. Man, the serpents and scorpions are a type of the devil and demonic activity. This is a foundational scripture where Jesus ensures us of his power and his authority, and nothing will by any means harm us. We need to be more vigilant. The book of Ephesians, Paul writes to that church and says that you guys are sleepwalking. Church, you got to wake up. Man, you got to wake up. I'm telling you, the fight is on. The battle has engaged. The only way we lose is by passively resisting being a part of it. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Look, what you're going through right now, let me just tell you, it's common amongst all of us. But listen to verse 10. But may the God of all grace, everybody say the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered for a while, listen, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, I think most people get stuck in the suffering and stop. Man, what are you doing? Man, I'm suffering. It's going to be a long time. Man, the season of your suffering doesn't have to be your lifespan. No, what does it do? After you've suffered for a while, what does the word say? The word says perfect, establish. Remember your kids. Let me tell you, when you're a good parent, When you're a good parent, your kid's going to whine once in a while and say, can I not do anything right? When they get their report card, it's A, C plus, B, A, A. Hey, great grades. Hey, great A's. Let's talk about that C plus. What's up? Well, you know, C plus, it's a little better than average. I know, but you're better than that, aren't you? No, that's as good as I could do. Well, why'd you get a C plus? Well, you know, I knew the material. I took the tests. I didn't do the homework. Okay, you're gonna take that class again. Why? Because we want to get to a place where we perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. What if you raise settled kids? But you know what? Man, that it's nitpicky. It's not the big things. He's not gonna screw up on the big things. He's not. I'm telling you, he's a great young man. It's those little things. It's not the big things, it's the little things. The little foxes spoil the vine. See, we've got to get, but it's just man, the things you got to correct them about, they're nitpicky. Yeah, and I'd say as a good parent, you nitpick. As a good parent, why? Because we want to get to that place where, man, we perfect, we strengthen, we settle them. Man, that's what we need to be. If your kid's been diagnosed with something, don't label them that in your heart. Man, I'm just telling you. Man, be of good cheer. We've overcome the world. In Luke 4:1, then Jesus, coming out of the wilderness, now listen, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's true life. That's where our fulfillment is. Man, you coming out of the wilderness, you're coming out of your temptation, you're coming out of your issue, you're coming out of your suffering. How does God call you to come out of that suffering? Full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Man, who amongst us are controlled by the Holy Spirit? Man, all of us got it. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, I have. I remember that glorious evening. I went up to the altar and I was on my knees and there was an elder on one side and an elder on the other side. The elder on my right side was saying, hang on. The elder on my left side was saying, let go. God showed up. A woman came up to me, had a big high hair, church hair, and long floral weird dress. And she said, just say Kawasaki backwards. I remember that glorious day when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. No, it's filled with and controlled by, but it's up to you what you do with God's word. It's up to you what you do with this message. It's up to you what you allow to distract you from the cause of Christ in your life. It's up to you. Take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for God's promise in your life. Man, that's the idea. That's what this is. We can't just be hearers only. Our action upon God's word is what gives us his promises to live. Well, you know, I've been thinking about that. You know, I believe. Really? Show me. And I'll tell you, I've been in meetings before where they prayed for people. And they'd say, now do something you couldn't do before. See, we focus on people in wheelchairs or people with a walker, people with an oxygen tank. It's okay, pull that oxygen out. Can you breathe? But how many of us are bound in our hearts by these issues that are core level things in us? And we're just, I'm telling you, we go back to this authority. Man, the authority to what? Man, he's given me the authority to give orders, to make decisions, to enforce obedience. Let me just tell you, nobody in the world is going to be able to force God's promise in your life like you. But you have to be forceful. You have to be sober. Be vigilant. Devil's looking for you to give him a little window of opportunity. What's he going to do? Is he going to bite off a limb? It's like Shark Week. No. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you a little bit of fear. He's going to let that fear stick in your mind. It's going to get in your heart. It's going to become a stronghold of fear in your life, and it's going to neutralize everything. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. I'll tell you my life, and I'm going to just say this in closing. I think I am by nature, a very strong excuse giver. I think I can give you an excuse for just about anything. I think I have that naturally in me. But you know, now, since I've become a Christian, and I just have revelation on God's promise and the fullness of it, anytime an excuse starts coming out of my mouth, it's so bitter. It's like, oh, get that. I can't stand it. See, what God's promise does in our life, he eliminates our excuses so we could take responsibility. Take responsibility for your peace, your prosperity. Take responsibility for your health. I'll tell you, one of the strongest things that impacted my life was an older man in a church meeting that I was in back in 1979. He stood up with a walker. Frail, sickly, had horrendous diagnosis, no hope. And he looked at the audience and said, I will live and not die. I'm sitting there looking at this guy thinking, that's interesting. And then he got forceful and he wasn't looking at me, but he was talking to me, I felt like. He said, no. I will live and not die. Okay. And that's how we have to be. It's time to live. It's time not to allow 90% of the gospel that's communicated individually to the public be in truly babes in Christ's hands. We can't grow out of that. I pray for you right now that if you have ever had that sensation that you have to tell somebody, that rises back up in you. And I pray for you now that if you've never had it, that you do. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody about Jesus. He was moved with compassion like sheep with no shepherd. I tell you, all people need in their life is a shepherd. Somebody that truly hears from God. Somebody truly that can take responsibility and make decisions and enforce obedience. And we're not being hypocritical. No one's arrived. We're all being perfected. I want to get better. Do you? I want more of this. Do you? I want all of God that I can get. Do you? Who do you think you are? I'm a man who wants all of God he can get. And it's every day and it's every way. Whether it's a little bit or a lot, I want to continue to take new ground in my life. That's all it is. I want to release the ministry at our other locations. Skytook and Sepulpa, AJ, Mariah, we're so proud of you guys, Aaron, Marcy. So thankful. You guys appreciative of the campus hosts at our other locations that are growing God's church. God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for a true move of your spirit, God. God, we want to leave this wilderness, this time in our life, this season, this suffering. God, we want to leave full of and controlled by your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, that we have all of you that we can get. God, change my life. God, affect me like only you can. Say this with me. Father God, my life is yours. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God, that your word's true. I know it is, without a shadow of a doubt. God, correct my unbelief, my hardness of heart. God, I want to be who you've called me to be and fulfill your purpose in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.